It's almost Halloween, and you've probably experienced lots of the familiar spooky cliches, ranging from vampires to serial killers to the time-honored jack-o'-lantern. But these visual motifs aren't the only thing that make the Halloween season. From witch cackles to werewolf howls to the iconic soundtrack to John Carpenter's Halloween, spooky sounds are all around us. Hello. I'm Michael Roberts, and welcome to Season 2 of the Zoogma Podcast, hosted by the Digital Writing and Research Lab at the University of Texas at Austin. Today's theme is horror movies and the special relationship that they have with their soundtracks. Perhaps more than any other genre of film, horror movies rely on, and are perhaps defined by, their soundtracks. Whether it's a special effects scare or a chilling score, horror movie soundtracks do quite a lot to establish the mood and create the feelings in a horror film, which is kind of the point. But how do horror soundtracks affect audiences, and why are they so essential to the genre as a whole? Today we'll be considering that in three parts. First, I'll go to Austin's own Housecore Horror Film Festival and Fantastic Fest, asking horror film fans what their favorite horror sounds are and why. Next, I will interview Spencer Hickman, the founder and CEO of Death Waltz Records, which is a British record label that presses vintage horror soundtracks to vinyl. And finally, fellow podcaster Jake Cowan and I will discuss Peter Strickland's 2012 film Barbarian Sound Studio, which tells the story of a British Foley engineer who starts to lose his mind while recording the soundtrack to an Italian horror film. Hopefully today's episode will not only allow you to revel in the sounds of the season, but also to consider just why and how they work. So let's go ahead and start the episode, and hope everyone has a happy Halloween. Alright, I'm here at Austin's Fantastic Fest. I'm here at Austin's own Housecore Horror Film Festival, asking these genre film fans what their favorite horror sound is.
I don't know, like a ripping of something? Like, specifically, like, cringing, I guess, cringingly is like the, in Dawn of the Dead, like the remake, I remember the fingernails being ripped off. It's like something like that.
This may sound a little grim, but to really sell a horror-type kill, you know, when a knife goes into somebody, and when they can really get that sound of, you know, a knife penetrating flesh, that sells it for me. It makes it real. It makes it more scary. So that's probably my favorite horror sound.
Mine's a little actually similar. It's the cracking of bones. I'm a huge fan of that noise. When I hear it, I'm like, yes.
I like the sound of teeth cracking and breaking in a movie. That always gets under my skin. Whenever there's a sound of someone's teeth slowly cracking or just shattering, that's awesome.
So it seems that for many hardcore horror fans, there's something visceral about a good horror soundtrack. Something that reminds them of being in a body, or the characters being in a body. Maybe that makes it more relatable, pathetic, or just more real. Other fans, though, prefer not embodied sounds, but ephemeral ones. Noises that sound otherworldly or ghostly.
I'd have to say probably, like, you know when they can't breathe and they're, like, trying to, like, it's where somebody's, like, possessed or something, and they're like, ugh! It's like, weird, can't talk because I'm not human anymore. That's a creepy sound. I think that's a good one.
Oh, man, right, yeah. Well, I mean, shit, okay, my name's Max Isaacson. I did a short film called Whispers. I would say, you know, you have to go with the I mean, that shit lives with you forever. You walk anywhere alone in the dark, and that's it.
The alien noise from Alien, the creature, the noise that the creature makes, for some reason it gets me every time. Yeah, like the hiss that the xenomorph does, that sort of, you know, you can tell it's there, and it's instantly scary. So that's what I think.
A specific horror movie or I always like when they do backward sounds, like if it's someone speaking or something and it's very trippy and they end in for effect, like backwards talking, etc., etc. Yeah, satanic type stuff, like, you know, or very, like, old school period mechanical audio effects, like Walter Murch style. I don't know if it's scary, but it's my favorite thing.
The contrast between these two styles of horror soundtracks is interesting, because they seem to go in opposite directions. One into embodied experience, and one out of it. The similarity, though, is that they both seem to take the viewer into the film and make film watching a more visceral experience. Still, other horror film fans are particularly fond of horror soundtracks, as we'll see next with our Spencer Hickman interview.
Do you like scary movies, Sydney?
Alright, I'm here with Spencer Hickman, the founder of Death Waltz Records, who is gracious enough to call us from Los Angeles, while representing his label there at their Beyond Fest Film Festival.
Could you tell us a bit about the label and what made you decide to start it?
It's a kind of conversation with Ty West at Fright Fest Festival in UK, London. And I was saying to Ty, you know, I'd really like to release House of the Devil. And he was like, oh, be amazing, like totally. And then it just kind of snowballed from there, and then I just started contacting people and pulling in favors. And then before I knew it, you know, the first two releases were like Zombie 2 and Escape from New York, which is, you know, pretty much a dream come true for me.
Yeah.
And I just thought it'd be really cool, and I wanted to get these records on vinyl. And some you could get, you know, like I've got three copies of Escape from New York for this claim. Zombie Flesh is, the soundtrack never got released on vinyl, and I just sat there thinking, wow, these films get like, they all get Blu-ray special releases, 4K remasters, all this stuff, but so the soundtracks are almost like a bit of a forgotten side note for them, and that to me felt kind of criminal, that no one was out there giving these things, you know, the kind of love and attention that they deserve.
Yeah, I think it is interesting that specifically, there does seem to be a huge culture of people who collect, horror movie soundtracks? The soundtracks seem to be so important or like inspire such kind of fandom.
You've got two types of people. There's people who pay attention to the soundtrack and you know, are listening to it, and then people who just want to watch the film. You know, like a say, more mainstream audience just wants to be scared. They're not really interested in the score and how it... And yeah, they, you know, if you're a fan of a movie, you want to collect as much stuff as you can on that film. And if something comes out that's cool that you like, you want to buy it. I mean, I'm the same. I mean, you know, we're nerds. I mean, everyone into this stuff is a nerd.
Would you say that your customers are more interested in just having something for the movie, or are they interested in, like, the composer? Like, are they interested in, for example, John Carpenter?
The one thing I've really noticed with the label getting so big so quickly, there's a definite split. People who collect records, and then there's the other side of it where there's, like, the horror... kids just buying it because it's cool, and there's this third kind of strand of people who just buy it because they like the artwork. They don't necessarily have a record deck at the moment, but they're buying it because it's just a really cool object and it looks really nice, you know. I mean, we put a ton of work into each release.
They're beautiful. I have several myself, but I was kind of struck, I think, aren't you guys putting out New York Ripper, which is a soundtrack that I love, but not necessarily a movie that I love.
You know what the interesting thing with New York Ripper is, you listen to that soundtrack independent of the film and you cannot believe that is the score to the New York Ripper. Because the film is brutal. I mean, I really love it. But you listen to the soundtrack and it's got these like amazing kind of like funky break jams on there, and then this kind of Latino stuff on there. You know, you could play that to anyone and they would never think it was from New York Ripper. And this is the thing with those movies, is lots of people think those films are kind of low-rent horror movies, and maybe they are, but I love them. But lots of the scores to those films are amazing pieces of music on their own, and they are proper standalone records.
Yeah, and I think that's what the interesting relationship between horror films and their soundtrack, especially some of these 80s movies, which have their... I mean, I think John Carpenter's a big reason, that where they have kind of their own... The music is its own culture, right? I mean... I don't know if I'd want to listen to some of the more modern horror movies where it would just be sounds of...
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I really like Jeff Bridges' work. You know, the guy did Innkeepers and the Devil. But he's really interesting because he uses really, really lovely kind of orchestral pieces. There are people working who do stuff that's interesting. You just have to seek it out. We're screening Almost Human by Joe Begos. And the, you know, the feel of that film is very 80s, and the soundtrack is totally like Carpenter homage, you know, like, but really, really well done. Like, you know, I definitely would release that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, for the next question, could you describe a few of your favorite soundtracks? Maybe the first one that you remember, or just a few of your favorite horror soundtracks and why you like
them? Well, yeah, I mean, the soundtrack I remember is Star Wars, because I was 8 when I saw it. My dad took me to see it when it came out in cinema. It blew me away. As it did any other kid who was 8 years old that saw it at that time. So, I mean, that was a huge, huge impact on me. And I would listen to that at home, looking at the poster and looking at all the pictures in the gatefold, which is basically where the idea of the label stems from. It stems from me being a kid doing that.
Right.
And then horror soundtracks. Like, you know, I totally remember, you know, watching John Carpenter movies and thinking, what's going on? You know, this is, like, amazing. And then, you know, Zombie Flesh Eaters, Cannibal Holocaust. I guess when I was 13, 14, the Video Nasties was happening back in the UK. Mm-hmm. I could go to a video shop, could rent Last House on the Left and Cannibal Holocaust and Zombie Flesh Eaters without anyone sort of saying, you're not old enough to do that.
Yeah.
So... I grew up with those, and I, you know, I definitely remember. I mean, the soundtrack to Zombie Flesh Eaters is just incredible, because there's so many different styles on there as well, and it's kind of not what you expect from a movie like that.
Those are some pretty extreme, lo-fi...
Yeah, you know, lots of those composers were, like, really far ahead of their time. I mean, if you listen to, like, Living Dead at the Manchester Morgue, the breaks that are on that record, you could drop in any DJ set anywhere in any club, and people would go nuts for it.
Are there any soundtracks that you think are particularly scary or really, like, enhance the fear of the horror movie that they're...
I've got to say, House of the Devil is absolutely terrifying. I can't wait to release that. I mean, that was originally going to be our first release. It's going to end up being our 23rd or something.
Do you have any favorite or, like, memorable kind of horror sound effects that you think are particularly effective or memorable from horror movies?
Well, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the camera at the beginning, like the flash.
Oh, just the click sound of the camera?
Yeah, 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 but it's absolutely, like, you're just standing, what's going on, you know?
But it seems to be particularly important in horror movies, where I think if you take away the sound, then it's usually not scary anymore.
Oh, yeah, the sound is not. You know, it can make or break a film. I'm not a big fan of massive jump scares. I prefer kind of like ominous kind of rumbles, and I like things to be sparse. And, you know, I'm not just a fan of like a cat jumping out and there being this massive like stinger. I mean, I still don't see everything that comes out, but, you know, I wasn't a fan of The Conjuring because I didn't like those huge stinger.
Yeah.
Jumps.
Although I think one of the most successful jumps that I've experienced lately was in House of the Devil, when that phone rings.
Yeah.
You know, when the phone rings and it's so loud and it's so sudden. I mean,
yeah.
It's not a typical jump, but I thought that the sound.
Yeah,
was
but again, that's interesting though, isn't it? Because it's not a massive sort of a drum and a synth. You know, it's like it's an actual sound.
Yeah.
You know, that's playing in the movie. They just amped it up. So yeah, I mean, stuff like that's really, I think anything that's clever and anything that tries to do things slightly differently is what, you know, where it's most interesting.
All right, great. Do you have any final words or things that you're wanting to say about horror soundtrack fans?
Not really. I mean, you know, this blows my mind. You know, being in LA these next few weeks is, you know, meeting people and people coming up to us at the merch stall at the festival and saying, you know, I think what you do is amazing, like, I really love it. And I've had a few people say, you know, you totally got me back into listening to horror soundtracks, or I didn't buy vinyl before I
discovered your label, and that stuff is, you know, it's really humbling. It's really amazing to have, be able to have that impact.
All right, so this is, again, this is Spencer Hickman with Death Waltz Records. Thanks so much for your time.
Cool. Thank you, man.
Okay, so we're here, Jake and Michael, to talk about Barbarian Sound System. We both watched this movie, although it does not come out on DVD until December, I believe, in America. So, just a kind of a quick recap, the story of Barbarian Sound System is about a Foley sound editor, Foley being someone who makes sound effects, records sound effects and places, puts them in a movie to make it sound the way that you would expect real life to sound. And he's hired by an Italian movie company, and when he arrives there, he realizes that he is going to be making sound effects for a horror film. And the rest of the movie is his kind of, would you call it a descent into madness?
Maybe? Sure, that's right. I would say it's arguably a refiguring of his fantasy towards something a lot more gothic and horrific.
Yeah, so this is someone who has no experience, we know has no experience with horror films or with violence whatsoever. You see, like, in the movie, he won't even harm a spider. And
he's English, and so he's very reserved, very quiet, and he's around flamboyant Italians.
So, yeah, so the story is one of culture clash. It's also very much an homage to Italian giallo films from the 1970s. And I think it's very much an homage to Suspiria, the Dario Argento movie, both because of some of the sound. The soundtrack is definitely recalling the soundtrack that Goblin made for Suspiria. The soundtrack is actually excellently made by Broadcast. It's the last Broadcast album. And then there's also mention of, like, witches and goblins that are in the movie. Although I should mention that at no point, and this is very, very significant, I think, at no point do we actually see footage of the film that is driving the protagonist to lose his mind, as it were. But that makes sense. In the end of the movie, you see the movie itself, the film itself, begins to resemble one of those old giallo films in that it itself is dubbed over in Italian.
Absolutely, yeah.
His own life seems to be dubbed over in Italian.
Right, and so again, we get this the break between the real and the imaginary, and I think it's really an element of, you know, how movies affect us in a way that they change our expectations and they change the way that we relate to our reality, you know, which is always hard to perceive. Right? Reality is a thing that we never get direct access to. There's always an element wherein we put a screen through which we see reality, the imaginary. And this film alters that screen for him in a really negative way, right? I think that maybe the movie is a meta commentary on movies as a whole, saying that, you know, movies that aren't aware of the new fantasy they're giving their audience do this.
Yeah, they're providing a new world that is affecting the audience. And there's an essay called The Nature of Horror that this philosopher Noel Carroll wrote, and he basically says he defines horror. Films, horror stories, as it's primarily an affective genre. Mm-hmm. So it's a genre that's defined by the affect that it's supposed to give the audience, that being one of horror, however you might define that. Which I think that's a really interesting way to think. Do you think that there's something about horror movies in particular that shape the viewers more than like a Western or a romance?
Yeah, I think so. A horror film is trying to elicit two responses. Right, a horror film both wants to frighten you, but also relieve you at the end of that fright, so that you still you walk out and you still feel a sense of enjoyment. At the end of this movie, what makes it, I think, so particularly disturbing is that you don't get that secondary feeling. You don't get a feeling of relief.
There's not really a resolution.
No.
At the end.
And that's what makes me question the aspect of its horror. That said, maybe it's one of the greatest horror films I've ever seen because it's so disturbing at the end.
It is disturbing. And I think this is a horror film the way that a David Lynch movie is a horror film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think that, and
Mulholland Drive is another great reference point for this because it is about like kind of a psychological breakdown like that. Another reference point would be Brian De Palma's Blowout. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have.
That
oh,
with
good.
That, which is also about a sound effects man who starts to kind of lose his mind in that case because he thinks that he's witnessed a murder.
Which also reminds me of the conversation by Coppola.
Not
a sound design person, but a person who captures sound and who records in a voyeuristic manner.
Do you think that there's anything particularly horrific about the sound element to a horror film, or?
Absolutely. I think, so there's one scene, again, spoilers. There's that one scene where he has gone to bed. He dreams that a voice actress has come into his apartment, the little room he's living in, and attacks him with a knife. What makes that scene so frightening, beyond it sort of like the obvious genre cliche that it is the lack of sound. In a movie so obsessed with the noise of his environment and his relationship to creating sound, the most horrifying moment is one of utter silence.
Right, yeah, it's inspired just how much sound really does trigger our psyche and make us think and feel certain ways. It's very disarming when he was getting attacked and it's basically muted, but I think it's disarming just because of how obsessed the rest of the movie is. And the sound editing on this movie is, as it should be, fantastic.
It's outstanding. The screams are hyper-real, right? Which it makes you as an audience member realize how inaccurate the sound of a bone breaking on film really is, right? It's really the sound of a watermelon. That, to me, is one of the most interesting parts of the movie, is how the fantasy of and the irreality of the filmmaking process becomes the reality of the audience. And what happens to him.
What his job is to kind of provide a, I don't know if you would call it a simulacrum, or just a feeling that there is a presence there. So when someone, for example, like steps on squishy ground, that it feels like that's actually happening. But what he's actually providing is just the feeling without the action. Yeah. Right, he's providing the sound without the action.
It's Baudrillard's fourth order of simulacrum, right? The representation of something of an original that never even existed, and that's exactly what he's doing. On a meta level, it's about movie making, and on a character level, it's about the character psyche. I mean, it's a movie stripped down to its absolute material.
I think The Guardian or one of the major newspapers. Called the movie a deconstruction of the horror genre. And I usually hate it when people use the word deconstruction to talk about pop culture, but I think in this case there might be something to that, because it really does seem to kind of question the very premises on which horror is based.
Absolutely.
Or at least bring them to the forefront, where you're wondering, oh, why do people watch these movies? Mm-hmm. Why do people make these movies? And what are the effects of making and watching these movies? In this case, they're very negative. I'm not saying that the movie is a critical takedown of horror films, because in some ways it almost seems like a love letter to the Italian giallo. But I think it's definitely very self-aware of its own own psychological power, honestly, that the film has over the viewer.
Absolutely. I think I like that Guardian quote. That's right. It is a deconstruction of the horror genre. It's a deconstruction of movies as a whole. It's, to a certain degree, storytelling. It's a great film.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. I was gonna say, any last words on Barbarian Sound System or horror movies or soundtracks?
It's a great film. Strickland is the director, right?
Strickland, yes.
And it's only his second film.
Mm-hmm.
Augurs well for a future.
Yeah, you should check it out on DVD. It's the movie that really embodies the subject of this podcast, which is the way that horror films and sound, music, how they kind of interact to create a sense of feeling in the audience, for better or worse, or for better and worse. That does it for this week's episode on horror movie soundtracks. Stay tuned for future Zugma episodes on, among other things, mustaches and surveillance. Have a happy Halloween.